I understand the children's hymns are all in the back of this little book we had last night. So if you have a choice, anybody have a choice, please raise your hand and just give it out. Number 41. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring. Okay, someone start that for us. One of the favorites back home as well, number 44 in our Sunday school. Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay. How many? Gypsy boy lay.
Story repeat o'er and o'er.
How many of you young children were at the gospel last night? Let's raise your hand. Okay. Remember what was spoken last night? We're a step Yeah, that was a theme. The one step between life and death, really, wasn't it, eh? And you know, this little gypsy boy was like that too, wasn't he? He was in that tent and he was going to go into eternity that day. One step. But you know how gracious the Lord is that he sent those at least two people along and directed them to that one tent. Doesn't say there was a mommy or daddy there, just a little boy. And he was dying alone. And the Lord was so kind. The Lord knew he was taking that final step that day. And he sent along someone to tell him a little story and give him a choice. To believe it or not. Well, we know the end of the story, right? He did believe that story. And what a wonderful step he made later that day when he stepped into eternity. He stepped into the waiting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, welcoming him. And then he says, oh, before he gets there, he says, now tell the rest. Go tell the rest. Let's sing a couple of more. Someone else got a choice? Number 40. All right. Jesus loves me, this I know. Probably one of the most often sung hymns of all. Known by everybody. Number 40.
This I know.
Let's ask the Lord's help before we sing another hymn. Time we'll sing a few more at the end. I was reminded last night of a little tract that I enjoyed so much in the past. I had sort of forgotten about it until John Bilisoli mentioned it last night, Roger's Deliverance. Wasn't that a wonderful story? Doesn't that remind you of the kind of God that we have? There was a young man, you know, who was going to dive into this pool. And he's poised on the end of this diving platform. And no matter how he dives, or the back flip, or the case might be, they always go into the water head first. You know what would have happened, don't you? If he never paused one moment. He looked across on the opposite wall because the light was from behind him, and he saw the silhouette of himself. And he said, "It looks like a man on a cross. It looks like a man on a cross." Who do you think did that? Who do you think, you know, was so faithful that this man who was about one little step from eternity was going to plunge into it and was brought face to face with a message? He saw in that silhouette the Lord Jesus Christ. It touched his conscience. That's what the Lord does. He just brings us to a point. He brings us to a situation where He wants us to stop a moment, reflect, think. We're only a step from eternity. And He brings us face to face with our mortality. That means we're all going to die. Every one of us here is going into eternity. Every single person. But it's where we're going to spend eternity is the big question. And Roger saw in that silhouette something that stirred his heart. And you know what he did? He backed away from the edge of that platform, not knowing he was backing away from death itself. He wanted to think more of what he'd seen. So down he goes. And later he finds out that the pool was empty, and he would have dove into a pool whose floor was like this. Instant death. And that's what our Lord is like. reminding us of the path that we're on, reminding us that we're only one step. And you know what? That's what's before me this morning is that one word, eternity. Eternity. I'm going to ask you, I'll give you a choice between the number 1 and number 500. How many times do you think the word eternity is used in Scripture? Who'd like to guess? Maybe you know. Who'd like to guess? Go ahead. 50. Yeah. You think, right? Because after all, we're all going to eternity. Well, you know what? It's used only once. Only once. Oh, eternal many times. But eternity, only once. I've checked 4 concordances. So if I'm mistaken, I'm going to blame the concordance writer and David Martin. Because the only reference I have is the only verse we're going to use this morning. And we're going to speak about eternity. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and the verse 15. It says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." I'll repeat the first part again. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place." I dwell in the high and holy place. I want to tell you a couple of stories this morning about eternity. Stories I collect. I tend to be a person that, you know, when I see things, I clip them out, you know, and I stick them in my little package, and later on, I usually find a use for them. And most stories you tell in a group like this, of course, the older people have heard these stories anyway. You get them, see them, oh yes, I remember. Right? Roger's Deliverance, yes, we all know that track. So maybe we got a story this morning that most people here haven't heard. I don't know. We're going to go to 2 faraway countries for these stories. The first one is the country of Australia. In the country of Australia, there's a city called Sydney. And in that city, there's a town center. And in that town center, there's a copper plaque. And on that copper plaque, there's one word. You know what it is? Eternity. Eternity. Downtown Sydney. Been there for many years. You'd like to know why it's there? People, you know, some people do remarkable things and people recognize that, right? The last clipping I have in my file, this came from last month, out of a Toronto paper, really. It's about, they found a woman, scientists have found a woman in California who's got nearly, well, they think, 100% memory. 100% memory. She's so unique, they've actually coined a new word to describe her. If I'm not mistaken, it's she's hyperthymistic. Hyperthymistic. Hard for Newfoundlanders to say that. From the word thymesis, which is a Greek word meaning memory, and hyper meaning super, above normal. This is Easter Sunday. One of the things, for example, they tested her on, she went back to 1980 and she told what occurred on every Easter Sunday since 1980. She knew where she was, she knew what she had for dinner, she knew what her friends were, she knew what the weather was like. She has 100% memory. Wouldn't that be nice for test time, eh? But you know, she's not really pleased with it because she says, I live it every day, over and over in my mind. There's nobody else in the world I know of who's got that kind of memory. The article didn't say that she has memorized scripture. She's only known by the word, by the letters AJ. And it didn't say that she has memorized scripture. But it would be wonderful, wouldn't it? I think she could memorize scripture. I know a man who actually memorized the Tolstoy's War and Peace. 1,000-page book. I forget how many words are in there. He's memorized all of it. You can ask him what's on page 472, fourth line, third word, and he'll tell you. Amazing. But what a waste of time. But he could memorize scripture, because there might come a time, you know, when we can't read. I was talking to a brother, Rito Ferry, a little while back, and he said, I can't read anymore. And like he could. But he was so thankful he had committed so many memories, so many verses to memory. And our brother had mentioned yesterday, but enjoying the Lord's presence, because the Lord could bring back things to his memory. Back to our story. I can tell you that this word, which is a memorial to a man from Sydney, that this man was known for much. As a matter of fact, you know, he was the child of a, I'll tell plainly, he was a drunk. His father was a drunk and alcoholic, and his mother was a woman of the street. And he was born in that little city. He grew up to be a very small man, 5'3", just skin and bones. And he knew the hardships of life. For his first 12 years, it was survival only. He never had a home like you and I have. He never had loving parents. He managed to survive by eating out of garbage tins. And he was abused. And he wasn't loved. And when he was 12, his parents kicked him out. And he went to the homeless place for 2 years. Age 14, he went to work in the coal mines. But by then, he had learned everything that was bad. He got into stealing and things like that. And they put him in jail and let him out and put him in jail again. You know the story, don't you? How it goes. Until the war broke out and he joined the forces and went off to France and became a stretcher bearer in the war. And then the Germans bombed France and he was injured, lost an eye. Later on he got out of the war, went back home and he was shell-shocked, he was injured, and he was poisoned with mustard gas. Back home, he fell back into the same things again that he had been into before he went. Thievery, went his own business. He was a watchdog for illegal gambling joints. That was his business. 1930s came. Great Depression struck Australia as it did North America. Poverty was everywhere, and he was starving. And one day, he went into a little mission because there was a light lunch given. And he went into the mission, and as the food filled his belly, the words of God filled his mind and his heart. And he left that mission hall and he went across the street to a park where there's a big tree. And under that tree, he fell to his knees. And tears poured from his eyes. He had never gone to school. He had never learned to read. Couldn't write his name. Nothing. He was at wit's end corner. And then he heard those words and he went out. And tears, like the gypsy boy. He was on his last leg. And the Lord said, Lord brought him right into that place and gave him the word that he was loved, that he was cared for. He never had a mommy like you have, or a daddy who loved him. But he found that there was someone who loved him, and he went out. And tears flowed down, and he accepted what God was offering, eternity with him. And he wanted to serve his Lord. What could he do? This little man who was himself alcoholic now, living on the streets, he was a vagrant. He had nothing. What could he do to serve his Lord? For the next 33 years, that man roamed the streets of Sydney. Wherever he went, on the sidewalks and on the buildings and on the fences, the walls, he wrote one word: eternity. 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 They asked him later on how he could even write. He said, I don't know. I always could. I can't write my name, but I can write eternity. He would use chalk, you see. It wasn't just graffiti. It would wash away. Didn't matter. He'd be back again tomorrow, putting him back there again. You know, time will tell. Eternity will tell the fruit of his labors. How do we know? The story doesn't, for us, it ends right there. But can you imagine someone strolling home maybe one night, you know, late from the bar and walking along, and there's on the sidewalk eternity. Someone turning the corner and they're on the side of the building, eternity. Some young people maybe out late at night and scaling the walls, trying to steal something, just come sliding down over a word they recognize. Eternity. How many would have stopped, I wonder? He was known as Mr. Eternity. That's what they called him. He wanted to tell people what he had found in the simplest way possible, reminding people of eternity. And he wanted to tell them more. When he was age 57, the Lord gave him a wife who could read, and she read the scriptures to him, and the Lord gave him a wonderful memory. Probably not as good as that lady in California, but he memorized the verses. And then he stood on the street corners and he preached the gospel the last years of his life. And when I was 18 years of age, on July the 30th, that was when I was 18, 1967, that young man, or that older man now, entered into eternity. He went home after serving his Lord. He puts me to shame, you know that? All that I've been given, and there he had nothing right, but he could pen the words eternity. Oh, wonderful story, isn't it? Wonderful story. He's been there since 67. Now I want to tell you another story. The time gets away real quickly. And this one I want you to listen really carefully, because, you know, there's something missing in this story. It sounds like a good story, and it is a good story. But before I tell you this story, I want to tell you about rats. And I want to tell you about rat poison. If mom finds a rat in the basement, does an old family know it? My wife tends to scream at anything that moves quickly, especially if it has a tail on it. And she's not satisfied until that thing is out of the house, dead or alive, preferably dead. Did you know that they use rat poison to kill rats? Did you know that over 90% of the things, of the ingredients in rat poison is actually absolutely perfectly good for the rat? But 95%? They love it. They'll get fat on it. They enjoy it. It's lovely. It's perfect food for rats. It's the 5%. That's where the poison is, the 5%. And that's a warning to us, you know, about stories and what people tell us that's not based upon Scripture. A lot of it is good. A lot of it makes sense. But be so careful, because it's a little leaven that leavens the lump. It's a little poison in that food that he carries back to his family that kills the rat. The poison. So this story, I want you to see if you can identify something. Something is missing in the story. This story actually comes from a person I know of in Corner Brook, Mr. Sterling. He was a businessman, retired businessman, and he wrote this, one of my clippings. He wrote that one time he had the privilege of attending a seminar in London, England, with many other dignitaries, two particularly. One was Lord Thompson of Fleet. Very contrast to Arthur Stace, the man we talked about, Mr. Eternity. Mr. Thompson owned 268 publications, that's newspapers and things like that. Very wealthy man. And also on that occasion, there was another man who was also well known. You won't recognize him, but some in the room will recognize the name. His name was Dr. Peel, Norman Vincent Peel. You recognize him as the author of The Power of Positive Thinking. Right? Power of Positive Thinking, in other words, always think positively. It'll come about, that kind of thing. Well, Mr. Sterling said he was there, along with all the others, at this luncheon. And Mr. Thompson turns to Dr. Peel and he says, "Dr. Peel, I'm an old man. I'm about to die. Can you tell me, is there an afterlife?" And the whole room went silent. They wanted to hear what this famous man, who had motivated millions around the world with his positive thinking thing, and many others after him, Og Mandino and many others like that. And this is what he told them. This is the story. See if you can tell what's missing. He said, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's the best I can. He said, if you could speak, he said to a baby in the womb, and ask that baby if he'd like to be born, he would probably say no. I'm perfectly comfortable here. I'm warm. I'm secure. I'm enwrapped. I don't want to leave this place. I don't want to die out of this place. In other words, to leave it, to pass over into something else. But he says, you know what? When that little child is born, it's enwrapped in the mother's love. It feels the comfort, the peace, the joy. And he realizes, oh, what was I afraid of? True, isn't it? And then that little boy grows up into a young man. Later on, maybe get married, have children of his own, and so forth. And then he surrounds himself with his family. And then he grows older. And he's about to pass into eternity. He says, does he really, Dr. Peel says to Mr. Thompson, does he really die? Or is he not simply born again into a new sphere? Will he not say on the other side, what was I afraid of? What was I afraid of? Dr. Thompson turned to Dr. Peel. He says, you've helped me with a question that's bothered me for many, many years. Thank you, he says. Thank you. You've helped me today. He says, do you think I'll make the other side? Dr. Peel says, oh yes, you'll be fine. And shortly after, that man crossed over into eternity. And not too long after that, Dr. Peel himself went over into eternity, believing that it was fine. That just as the baby was afraid, is born into this life, realizes, oh, it's wonderful. I shouldn't have been afraid. That when we come to death and we cross over from death into eternity, we're going to say the same thing. What was I afraid of? It's beautiful here. Do you know, young people, how many books there are out there about those who've had near-death experiences, who've gone down that pathway to the light and seen the flowers and have come back and said, don't worry, it's totally beautiful. What's missing from the story? Can you spot what's missing from that story? I'll give you a clue. Back to our verse again. Go back to our verse in 57 of Isaiah, in verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Go ahead. Yeah. In that second story, unlike the first one, there was no talk about who is it that lives there? Who inhabits eternity? It's God Himself who lives in eternity, whose name is holy, who says, I dwell in the high and holy place. I dwell there. And in that story that Dr. Peel told, he passed over that, as if to say, it didn't matter that God was there. And it didn't matter that you're still in your sins, that you're a sinner. That wasn't touched upon. You know what? God says He is holy and no sin can be in His presence. That's what was missing. That was what was missing. He wasn't told. When Mr. Eternity, Arthur Stays, heard that message that night, he heard a message that he was a sinner. Oh, he didn't have to be told that. He knew he was. But he knew that there was a God who could forgive sins. And that's what brought him to his knees. That's what brought the tears to his eyes. And when he rose up, he says, oh, I'm free. I'm washed in the blood of Christ. No, I want to tell everybody, but how do I do that? I'll tell them about eternity. Eternity. In shock everywhere. You feel sad about what Mr. Thompson was told? An old man who asked this well-known man, is there an afterlife? And then to be told, don't worry about it. You're okay. It's just like being born again, crossing over. No thought as to who was there. God Himself, the Holy One, who could have no sin in His presence. And that's why. Remember I told you how faithful God was? Remember Roger? That moment, about to step into eternity, he was brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Brought face to face with the fact that he wasn't ready. And he was saved after that. The gypsy boy in that tent, dying alone, about to step into eternity, the Lord was faithful. Brought these people along to tell him. He made the decision. I'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Arthur Stace, brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, made the decision. Yes. Yes, I want to. Not only am I going to be in eternity, I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. It's just two places, right? They'll all go in eternity, but where will I spend eternity? With the Lord Jesus Christ or not? how sad it is. Mr. Thompson was made to relax and feel that, don't be afraid. Remember I told you about the poison, the 5%? Most of that story that Dr. Peel told, you know, was a legitimate story, don't you think? It sounded pretty good. But oh, the poison. That it was okay, you'll get there just as you are. Don't worry about a thing. Whereas we're told that we are all sinners and we must be saved. We're only a step from eternity. And with that, we'll close. I have no time to sing, so we'll just close with prayer. And trust that each one here, the Lord is faithful in bringing us to that very point that we might decide to be with that Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and our Father.